Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be here today. For those who don't know, I was a little incapacitated over the last week and a half. First of all, I want to thank Nate for filling in for me last week. I just asked him to read a paragraph of something, but he knocked it out of the ballpark by bringing a message last week. So thank you. Let's thank Nate for that effort that he put in. We were talking about God's sovereignty, and so I figure God in his sovereignty wanted us to talk 2 weeks about his sovereignty, so that worked out pretty well. Nate did the heavy lifting, and so I just get to ease right in to the topic today. So I'm grateful for that. So sorry that I couldn't be here last week, but for those who don't know, I started with a knee issue that I went into the emergency department with. They thought it was just bursitis of the knee. They gave me an antibiotic. The next day, I stayed home, had to be off it, and as the day went on, the whole leg swelled up, and it turned red and puffy and sore and started moving up here. So by the time my wife got home, I said, "Amy, do you think this is what they meant when they said if it gets worse, you should come back in?" And so we went right back in, saw the first person, and they go, "Well, you're going to be staying in the hospital here tonight." And so they tried getting it under control, put me on another antibiotic. It still didn't help. And now the whole thing was swelly and puffy and sore, and I couldn't stand. I was crying like a baby. I'm just owning that. I did, because I couldn't stand on it. It was starting to move up, so they got really concerned about that. Put me on a second antibiotic. That didn't work. So now they're starting to talk about MRSA. They're starting to talk about septic arthritis, which requires surgery. They're starting to talk about all kinds of things. And it was really a bad way. My fever was still going, and because I had a fever through this whole time. So it was a little scary for us during that time. The next Saturday morning, I woke up. The swelling had gone down. They took my blood, right? They took like 180 vials of blood from me over that time. And all the markers were going down. I could then begin to start standing on my leg. And they go, "Well, you can go home today at 10. I'm like, "Oh, okay, all right." It took a quick turn. And obviously, I credit that quick turn with the prayers of God's people that were going on, and I just want to praise God for that, for the prayers of God's people. And so thank you for your prayers. There were lots of them. Thank you for your cards and notes of encouragement, and those who visited, that was awesome. I just want to encourage you to continue to be open to living in community here. This is what we do. Together. And so if you're not on the prayer line, get your name on the prayer line so we can pray for you. I always find people who are ill and they're like, "Oh no, I don't want anybody to know." That's just the silliest thing in the world. Let us know so we can pray for you, because we believe in a God who can move and work and sustain you. And so sign up on the prayer list so we can pray for one another, and you also can be prayed for. So let's make sure we do that. The other thing that I want to say in my journey was at one point, because we didn't think we were going to be overnight, Amy left to go home, and she's like, "Are you going to be okay if you leave?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'll be all right. I'm fine here." And by the time she got back, like an hour and a half later, I said, "You know, I wasn't alone during this time, because about every 10 minutes, I received a text from somebody from Orchard Hill that said, 'We're praying for you, we're thinking about you,' and I was never alone during that time." And so thank you again to the community for that, but I also want to encourage you all to get on the Church Center app. It's a Church Center app. You could go to it. I don't even care if you do it during my message, right? Maybe I'll just be so boring this morning that it forces everybody on the Church Center app. Church Center app, sign up on Orchard Hill. Put your name and information and phone number in there. It's our directory. It's our online directory. That's how people know how to get a hold of you. Many are frustrated when they call the office and say, "Oh, somebody's sick, I want to send them a card." "No, but I don't have their address." And we're like, "Yeah, we're not free to give that out." So put it in the directory so people can connect, so we can live in community. And so do that today. Get in on that directory. And so we can continue to be community, because that's what the church is. And I was on the receiving side of things, sometimes very awkwardly. But thank you for blessing me. So I'm bouncing back. My knee is still kind of sore, but hey, I'm not crying like a baby this morning yet. So we'll see how that all goes. We are continuing our Year of God study this morning. And this first series in this Year of God is None Like Him, where we've been talking about all the attributes and all the characteristics of God that are unique to Him. Later on in the year, we're going to talk about those characteristics and attributes that we share with God, but these are ones that are unique to Him. And today we're going to be looking at Psalm 93 as we talk about God who is sovereign. Psalm 93. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. Indeed, the world is established firm and secure. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. The seas have lifted up, Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your statutes, Lord, stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gracious God, we come here this morning and we acknowledge that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth. So make us hungry for this heavenly food, that it may nourish us today in the ways of eternal life through Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven. Amen. Psalm 93 in the Hebrew begins with two words, Yahweh Melech. Yahweh Melech. Yahweh is the word used in the Old Testament for God's name. Usually it doesn't have the syllables when you look at it in the Old Testament. Often our Bibles will interpret it as Lord with all caps. This was the sacred name of God. This is the God of the Hebrew people. And they're saying Yahweh Melech. And that word is king, sovereign, above all. And we interpret it as saying the Lord is king. And then as the psalmist makes that declaration that Yahweh Melech, he then goes on to describe using images of first century Eastern, Near Eastern kings as he talks about how they're dressed. He says he's robed. We see a king robed. He says he sits in majesty. He also tells us that he's armed with strength. This king has the power. And he goes on to talk about the king also has decrees. And so he's painting a picture for us of this king who sits on the throne. Now, I know today we don't deal a lot with kings, right? We don't deal a lot with monarchies. In fact, our whole nation is in response to rebelling against a monarchy. But we do know what a king means. A king means absolute rule. If you are in the kingdom and under the reign of the king, live within the bounds of the king, whatever the king says, whatever he decrees is what you have to do and what you have to obey. And if you, whatever the king says, you do it. That's the way that it works. The king is not just the final word, he's not just the final word, he's the only word. Whatever the king says, that goes. Whatever the king wants to do, that's what goes. Whatever power he wants to exert, that's what goes. And so the king is the supreme ruler who exercises his power and his authority without question. And that's the image that the psalmist is painting for us here in Psalm 93. He says God is fulfilling that role. God is sovereign. God alone is king. Wall Street is not king. Hollywood is not king. Washington, D.C. is not king. TikTok is not king. But God is king. There is absolutely nothing that happens in the universe or happens here on earth. Nothing that happens in the microscope. Nothing that happens in the telescope that is beyond the control and realm of our God. Yahweh Melech, the Lord is King, declares the psalmist. And then notice he goes on in verse 2, what he says about God's kingdom. He talks about its stability and its permanency. He says in verse 2, your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. He uses the word established. And it's not like it was just set in place. Like, oh, I established that crate here on the stage and, you know, 4 weeks ago. No, established here means rooted, permanent, firm. It's established. It's there. It's solid. It's unmovable. That's the establishing. He's saying that's your throne. It is made firm. It's rock solid. And the same word is used in verse 5 to describe the statutes of the Lord. They stand firm. So God in his throne, God in his decrees, God, he's just, get a vision of this, he's just not going anywhere. It's permanent. There he is, rock solid. And then he says, your reign is from all eternity. And at the end, it says, your statutes, Lord, are for endless days. Other versions may say from everlasting, or they may say forevermore, or literally for the length of days. This is our God. He is established, and he is there for eternity. I mean, think about that. Cyrus the Great, the Persian Empire, he's gone. Alexander the Great, gone. Julius Caesar, Ramses, Charlemagne, Ivan the Terrible, Caesar Augustus, Constantine the Great, Genghis Khan, Henry VIII, Tecumseh, Napoleon, Vladimir Lenin, Abraham Lincoln, Mao Zedong, gone. All these rulers, all these kings, all these people put in positions of power and authority are all gone. But our God, sits on the throne now and always. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. As it says in Revelation 5, to him who sits on the throne will be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. That's our God, the King above, sitting on the throne. In verse 3 and 4, tell us about those who want to revolt and rebel against this king. It says, the seas have lifted up, Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. All right? This is the image of evil, the image of chaos in the cosmology of this day. The way that they understood the world and how it was put together is that there was the world and it was sort of surrounded by water. There was what they call the firmament, which protected them and was the sky. But above that was water, because right, rain came down. And above that was the heavens where God was. But in the water under the earth, as the earth was pillared into this water that surrounded the earth, that's where evil came from. That's where they understood evil to come from. And so we read a lot about the waters and the chaos. And even in this day, we found, like when we went to Israel, the people in the Middle East are not very fond of water, right? It's hot day, we all get down in our bathing suits and run and dive into the water. We're like, I'm not so sure. I don't want to dive into the water. Because still in the heads, it's chaos, it's evil. And that's the symbol that we have here. And you think about all the Bible stories about water and where evil is coming from. And so here we have the seas lifting up, and we have the seas have lifted up their voice, the pounding of the waves. They've lifted up their pounding. The seas, the evil is coming against God. Here's the king, and there's rebellion with the evil coming up against him. It's pounding. And what does the psalmist say? What is the success of this rebellion against God? None. Mightier than the thunder of the great waves, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. in relation to the evil, in relation to the chaos, where is God? Above it all, He is mighty. And remember, we've seen the end, right? We went through the book of Revelation. We saw the end of this. And Revelation 20:10 tells us, "And the devil that deceived them was hurled into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." I love that word, that the devil was hurled into the lake of fire. It wasn't like, okay, I got the devil. You just get in there, lake of fire. The devil's gone. Oh, no, he was hurled. It wasn't even a fast pitch. He was hurled into the lake of fire. I'm thinking hammer throw, hurl, you know, hurl. And there he goes into the lake of fire because God is winning the victory. I just want to tell you that if you have cellulitis to the leg, don't try to do the hammer throw move. It's not very good. No, sorry. But you hurl him into the fire. The enemy's hurled into the fire because God is mightier. God is on high, says the psalmist. The Lord is on high and is mighty. Exalted, mightier than even the most chaotic force. Are you getting this image of our God? That there is none like Him. He sits above it all. He is sovereign. God stands in relationship to the people and to his creation and to the evil forces. He's large and in charge. That's our God. And nothing happens outside of His will and outside of His influence and outside of His authority. The Lord reigns, Yahweh Melech. That's our God. I feel like you all have lost an hour's sleep last night. But that's okay. We'll keep pressing on. That's all right. Some of you may be familiar with the story of Corrie Ten Boom, although I say that and recognize that many of you, her story was captured in a book called The Hiding Place in a movie in 1975. So that occurred to me, for some people, that was way before they were even born. But there was this 20 years before some were even born here. But it was an important story. For those who aren't familiar with that, there was a war called World War II, and it was pretty big. And the Nazis were, obviously we know, the Holocaust and coming against the Jews in a great atrocity. And the Ten Boom family, they lived in Holland at that time, and they, like many, risked their lives by hiding people in their house to keep them safe from the Nazis who wanted to bring them to the extermination camps. And their family hid Jews in near the end of the war, February of 1944, their home was raided, and it was discovered that they were hiding Jews. And so the Ten Boom family was then sent off to concentration camps. Corey's father went to Sovingen prison, where he died 10 days later. Corrie and her sister Betsy were sent to the awful Ravensbrück concentration camp, where they experienced just deplorable conditions, a lack of food, abuse, put to hard work. It was just a hellish experience on earth. Corey's sister Betsy died in that concentration camp, but Corrie Ten Boom was miraculously released through a clerical error, and she was released from that concentration camp. And years later, as Corrie Ten Boom went across the country to share her story, more appropriately, to share an explanation for her story, which is, how could a God who is sovereign, a God who sits on throne, a God who is mightier than all the evil, How could a God allow such an atrocity to happen? Corey would often speak as she was at the platform with her head down, and it looked like she was reading her notes, but really she was working on a piece of needlepoint. And then after telling her story about the atrocities and all that happened, she would hold up the needlepoint that she had been working on, and she would hold it up and show the backside, which was just a jumbled mess of colors. It was just strings going everywhere, no sense. It looked like chaos. It was frayed and no discernible pattern. And she would say, "That's how we see our lives. Sometimes it makes no sense." What she went through made no sense. And then she would turn the needlepoint over, and she would reveal an intricately embroidered crown. And she would conclude by saying, "This is how God views your life. And someday we will have the privilege of seeing it from His point of view." Maybe today you're here and all you see is the jumbled mess of strings. You see the dark strings going here and there and everywhere, and it just simply makes no sense. And you're pushing back and you're going, "Pastor Bob, it makes no sense. How could God be in control? How could God be sovereign? How could God be allowing these things to happen in my life? I got this health report. I lost my job. My anxiety is sky high because I have no longer know where the future is going to be, and what I have no idea. Every time I watch the news or I hear about what's going on in the world, I just fall into despair, and I'm overcome with worry and dread. I have this perfect relationship that I thought I could build my life on, and suddenly this relationship is broken and torn apart, and it was so solid, and now it's shattered, and I just don't know how I'm going to move forward. Are there dark threads? Is there a jumbled mess in your life right now that you're dealing with in some way, shape, or form that maybe, yeah, you too are questioning a sovereign God? I want to remind you, as Corrie ten Boom did, that we are simply looking at the backside of the embroidery. From our people-centered, right, our people-centered, finite minds and understanding, our limited time, as we when we talked about eternal, and that we're just that dot on that rope, our minuscule presence here in this world, we can't understand it. But we have a God who sits on the throne, who is above it all, and from His viewpoint, where He is holding all things in His hands, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, where He has clearly told us in Revelation, and we've seen the picture, that He has won the victory, that from God's perspective looking down, often we have our perspective looking up, and we look up at God and question God, "How could you, God? Why, God? How about this?" And all we see are the ugly threads. From God's vantage point, whose ways are higher than our ways, whose thoughts are higher than our thoughts, He looks down, and we see a God who is sitting on the throne, and everything is held in His hand. And we can rest in confidence that He is making a beautiful crown where He receives the glory and we receive the victory. And one day, we're going to see what God is up to. And we will see the truth of Romans 8:28 that tells us, "For all things work for the good." Not all things are good, but all things work for the good. You mean even the dark strings, even the jumbled mess? Yes, all things work for the good of those who trust in the Lord. Why? Because God is sovereign and God is in charge. Things are not spinning out of His control, but God is directing it all. And we will see that those dark threads are necessary. They're necessary to make the whole embroidery stunningly beautiful. Not one thread is wasted, good or bad. It's not wasted. This has to inform our walk of faith. As we think of God being sovereign, it's not just an intellectual that we hold into our head, but it has to inform the way that we walk as God's children, because good theology and right theology makes right living. And so if we understand this God who is sovereign, it will impact our lives, and we will grasp it, as Jerry Bridges says in his book, Trusting God. He says this: the sovereignty of God is the one impregnable rock to which the suffering human heart must cling. It's what we cling on to, right? Things look like a jumbled mess. The strings look like they're going here and there. I don't understand. But what do we do in that situation? What do we hold on to? God is sovereign. Yahweh Malek. That's our God. And I hold on to it, knowing that God is control, knowing that God is a good God, knowing that He is working all things for His good, so that He will receive the glory, and we, His children, will receive the victory. And I live into it, because we live by faith and not by sight. We live by faith and not by sight. So by faith, I cling that God is sovereign, that He's got it in control. And as Job said, right, this poor guy, he had lots of black strings in his life. Did he not? I mean, crops being destroyed, family being crushed. I mean, he had it all. And Job said, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. And that's what I'm holding on to. I can't see it, but I know God does. I know He's in control. And one day, I will be able to understand what God was doing with in his sovereign plan. And so I can rest in that. Can you not? Does that not allow you to rest in that? That I don't need to worry. I don't need to try to have anxiety. I don't need to try to control every circumstance. I don't need to try to control every word. I don't need to try to grasp every act and outcome of life. But rather, I'm going to bring my life to the one who is in control. And I will pray without ceasing, as the Bible says. Here's what's going on, God. And I want to align what I'm doing in my life with your will. And God, if this is what you have for me to achieve your purposes, continue to walk with me and give me exactly what I need to go through this journey and through this walk, because I know you're creating a beautiful picture and you're doing something good. And God, I want to be a part of that. Instead of resisting what God is doing, we may not come before Him and say, God, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we can know that God is working towards our good. And at that moment, when we release this to God, to His sovereignty, to His control, we begin to own what Paul says we should in Philippians 4:7, to let the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and mind in Jesus Christ. We move from worry, control, anxiety consuming to, I'm living in peace. Why? Because I know the one who's in charge. And I can live with peace. And it says, let that peace guard your heart and your mind. My feelings, oh, I don't know about this. Let it guard your feeling. My mind, oh, I don't get it. Let it guard your mind. I can have peace because I know the one who is sovereign. I know the one who is mightier than this chaos. I know the one who is mightier than this chaos. I know the one who is mighty and sitting on the throne. And that peace can be a part of my life. How can you be so chill? I know the one on the throne. It seems to me like you should be awfully worried and upset about this right now. No, I know the one who is on the throne. How can you take another step forward today? Yahweh Malek, the Lord is King. I want to take a moment and some time here just to let you turn your hearts over to God, because I know that there are probably many things happening in the life of our church family and in your lives that maybe it just doesn't seem like this is good. I don't understand how God could be at work. And I just want to encourage you to lift your hearts towards Him in prayer about those things this morning. Letting Him go. Giving Him over to the God who is in control. And letting His peace fill you around those issues. God, as I come before You in this morning hour, I want to thank You. I want to thank You for this great image that the psalmist has captured here for us to remind us, God, that You are in control, God, that You do sit on the throne. And God, we can forget that so quickly because we get so self-reliant and we think we have the resources and the abilities and the knowledge and the strength to do what needs to be done. But at the end of the day, God, we recognize that all is held in Your hands. And so, God, I just want to lift up our church family here now. And as we come before You, God, I know there is hurt. I know there is pain. I know there is struggle. I know that there may be those who are looking at things just wondering, how can God be at work in this? And God, would You speak to them this morning and give them Your peace? Assure them that You have it. Let them hear Your still small voice whisper in their ear, I've got it under control and it will be good. God, hear our prayers. Father God, we come this morning and we hear Jesus' words to us that just says to us, don't worry. Your Father knows what you need even before you ask for them. But Father, the enemy wants to come in and deceive us. And he wants to tell us you're not a good father. He wants to tell us we better take control of it. He wants to tell us that a bad outcome is going to come, and we want to pray against those thoughts this morning. So God, will You just fill our minds with Your truth, and above all, the reality of who You are, who You say You are, and who You've declared Yourself to be now and forever, and we hold on to that rock this morning. And today we are holding on to the truth that our God is King. He is mighty, and nothing stop Him. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen. Amen.
I love the closing song that we're singing, because as it relates to this topic that we're God's sovereignty today, we're singing evidence. And there are times where you're like, I don't know, can I trust God? Can I lean into Him? Is He there? Is He going to take care of these dark strings? And we're continually reminded to look. Just look. Look around you. Look at the evidence of God's goodness. Look at the evidence of His care. For 2,000 years, God has been faithful in His promises. Just look. And then know that that's a God that you can trust in. So let's stand on our feet together. and sing this last song as a declaration of trust in God and a declaration of faith in our sovereign God in this day.